going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Nick Minute. I'm your host, Bruce, and today we're wrapping up Enemy of My Zombie Enemy, Format 22, for Versus with a tournament recap for y'all. I know that you guys seem to enjoy, and you really did miss me getting bushwhacked in these events, in these tournaments. I have to imagine that you're getting something from this. Maybe this is just osmosis. I didn't get to go, so I'm going to listen to Bert and hear about his experience with the format and the tournament and the players. Well, that's got to be what it is, right? All right, so let's get into it then. I traveled to John's house in Oklahoma on a Thursday, last Thursday. And my goal with coming in early was just relaxing. I didn't want to test that much. I didn't want to, like, stress myself out. We weren't going to do an overhaul on deck choices and theories and things. We were just going to finalize what we had and run it on the Saturday. Up until that point, I had a decision to make because I was on what in my mind was the best zombie bite you, give you infection deck, which was Kate Pryde from the X-Men, and who in my mind would resist the virus the best, which was X-23 from X-Men. I learned my lesson, commuters. I learned my lesson. You do not deny the mutants. The mutants are here, and they're staying, and they're not leaving, and you have to respect them, and you have to have game. I knew that. I knew that because of Buckeye. Shout out to Team Buckeye. I landed on X-23. Here's the thing. Kate Pryde had a big problem with healing main characters that could resist the virus and go to turn 6, 7, and 8, and then if Kate went back in time, all of a sudden the match was upside down, she was losing on the board. I didn't really enjoy that, and I thought that the field that I had to compete against for this regional mat would have landed on a healing main. That wasn't the case. And I ended up playing X-23. We're going to jump into this list right now. Here we go. X-23 at level 1 is a 333 X-Men stamped. She's a hunter. Laura X-23 has plus 3 attack, plus 0 defense while attacking. And she has hunted. She has plus 0, plus 3 while defending. So she's a 3-6 on defense. She's a 6-3 attacker. And then she has accelerated healing factor. During the main, you pay a green, heal all wounds from X-23. It's also important to note that she doesn't have a level 2. She stays this way the entire game. This ended up being my favorite healing main. And she also, as we're going to talk about these rounds, she ended up being like the best main candidate to get bitten. Because her being face down with one wound or two wounds is good. Her being a 6-3 team attacker with any zombies or any mutants that got infected was good. Her just being a 6-3 was often just good enough in Swiss. She was able to trade with mains. She was able to trade with good statted 3s and 4s. She was able to go to turn 6, 7, and 8 because I only needed to draw 2 of 8 or 2 of 12 in order to play the game, which was I was really appreciative of. Let's get into the deck list. All right. For Oklahoma Regional, Enemy of My Enemy, I had 4 Iceman. Criminal how this card has aged over versus time. And this format was no exception. This guy was freezing zombies and killing them. He was dealing wounds to the main because if the main gets infected, they lose a life because they can't attack. And sometimes you gain a life because their main couldn't attack. Awesome card still to this day. I had 3 Jubilee in the main. I needed something to interact with the Stiltman so that the Laura can get through to the main character on the crackback. She's a 3-2 with a gun. That was good enough. I had 3. I kind of wish I could have gotten away with 2. But I'm glad I played her. She was actually really important on the day. 4 Hope. Hope Summers. The Mutant Messiah. Oh, man. This card's nuts. Not only did she copy the Iceman if he lived, So your opponent's taking another wound, but like she can copy Sage, which we're going to get into later. Insane. The card's nuts. And that's another base box mutant that stood the test of time. Awesome card. I'm glad I played it. I have a bunch of one-offs here. One blind spot. When she first came out, I thought four blind spots was good if you wanted to play a main that just needed to accrue value in the early turns. But sometimes you would end up having the blind spot on the board with a blind spot in the KO pile. And that's a non-bow in that sense. She could grab herself back and you wasted to recruit. I dropped down to one of a kind because at that point, whatever she's going to get out of the KO pile won't be herself, and it'll be a real card, regardless of how many cards are in the KO pile. Super awesome. I'm probably going to be putting one-of-a-kind blind spots in more Illustrated decks from now on. I had Destiny. You know Destiny's in the house. I played the 2-2 that grabbed a Loke from the top 12 and the one that grabbed a character from the top 12. These cards were just mandatory to me. She's a mutant. She grabs basically plus two health, or she grabbed important cards that I was playing as far as Wolverine, Sage, Silver Samurai, Iceman, or Hope. Three drops. I played the most aggressive card that we might have ever seen in Illich. It's Wolverine. He's a 4-4. He's an 8-4 with three health. If he's bitten, your opponent's probably going to get bit back. He's an 8-4 zombie. He's an 8-4 team attacker. A lot of the time in Swiss, him and X-23 were team attacking for 14. That was good enough for every main in the format, every single one. And I'm super glad he's in the game, and I'm super glad he was in my 60. Four drops. I'm going to talk about Dakin, the son of Wolverine, first. From original Brotherhood box. He's a 4-5-2. He has pheromone control. While in melee combat with Dakin, you lose your powers. You cannot gain them. This was important because he was good against Stiltman, he was good against opposing zombies, and he was good against them on defense. He essentially cannot be bitten, and that was kind of cool. The other four drop in my deck was three Banshee. I made the claim when we first talked about Banshee that this was the best flyer in draft, and I actually think he's the best flyer I had access to, and we're going to talk more about him a bit later. Five drops. It's Sage. It's the O-10. She was nuts. If your opponent was bit, they can't crash in her. She has zero attack. On the crackback, she's going to match your defense. She's going to put you down. Boring pumps, right? Super heinous with Hope. And I'm super glad that this card is in the game for mutants. This card is actually nuts. I loved casting her all day. You can slow roll it too. If your opponent doesn't have a good board, or if you can get the wound, put them to three, put them to four, you don't need to hard jam the Sage. She can just come down and be like, oh, well, you're just at four now. Or, nope, you're just dead now. Awesome card. And then we have my Curve Topper. It's Silver Samurai. I had three of him. This card's nuts, man. This card's actually nuts, man. He challenges you to Ancient Bushido. You're dead. You're getting stabbed. He's a combat master. He pulls you to the front. You're dead. You're getting stabbed. I loved casting this guy. I'm so glad he's in the list. I'm so glad he made it. You can argue that 6s, 7s, and 8s weren't really that applicable to the format, but Silver Samurai was the golden exception. I'm so glad I played him. Plot twist, blue cards. We had four Uncanny Defense. The best this card has ever looked was stopping a zombie infection or forcing a zombie trade so that you can get through and bite somebody on the crackback. Awesome. This and that. I had a lot to say negatively about this card when it first came out, but this card was randomly just good. Ping your Stiltman. He can't get me. Ping the Paste Poppy. He can't get me. The card had tons and tons and tons of application in this field and in this format. Awesome card. Defend the Weak. Fine Cover Plus is actually pretty good, as it turns out. Card's nuts. And I played Build It Up, another card I had negative things to say about, but my main character was on greens. This says turn a green up. Essentially says your main gains two life if you have a basic green in the row. Awesome. We don't feel the negative effects of mutant loyalty because we already had to be on mutants anyway. Good card in this situation. And then the one of a kind, I had a dream realized. I put it in there mainly to act as my ninth or 13th green. But it's good if your opponent won the board, but they're on zombies. Or if you won the board and you have important guys out. Pretty good. I'm glad it didn't come up, but I'm glad I played it. The equipment. I played the one of a kind. It's the Helmet of Immunity. Card's nuts. It only came up once in Swiss and it never came up again. But I'm actually like really glad I played it because that was a hedge for other healing mains. And it's actually kind of hard to get out of that card. Most kits have to fight and put the guy down to get rid of the helmet. But if you put it on X23, she's a 3-6 on defense with uncanny, with this and that, with defend the weak. Like, it's actually really hard to clear the helmet in R60. And then the looks. 4 School for Gifted Youngsters and 4 Fortresses. That's the list. That's the 60. Let's talk about Swiss. We show up the morning of. We show up and people start rolling in slowly but surely. And round 1 gets called and I'm on the buy. Got a buy in round 1. Fun fact, this is the first time in Versus 2 PCG tournament play that I've ever gotten the buy. And I was a little bit frustrated. I'm like, man, I kind of wanted to play. I wanted to see what was up firsthand. But as I got up from my chair and looked around, I noticed there were a bunch of Kate. At least half the room was Kate. And then what John was on, which was Mole Man. What Walter or Wally was on, which was Black Panther. Wally, of course, being a shadow member of Build a Club. We had Stacks on Kate Pride. We had Vern from Team Apex on Kate Pride. So Kate Pride came to play. And I knew I would have to play her more than once if I wanted to win this regional. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? My deck is suited for the matchup. We can probably get away with this. We can probably get away with beating her. I saw Deacon Frost. I saw Banshee. More mutants. Underworld guys. And I thought, I'm actually pretty well fitted in this field. So that was round 1. I got the bye. Round 2, I sit down across from Walter, Wally, with Black Panther. We had played a few of these matchups the night prior, and the matchup's like, I want to say it's in my favor, but part of Black Panther's game plan is flipping and then creating this like unwoundable board state where pay a yellow, get out of time, pay a yellow, get rescue armor, pay a yellow, get Jane Foster. The longer the game goes, the more Black Panther is likely to win, but I got him to 3 wounds relatively quickly, 3 and 4. Then he took the 4th wound, healed it with Jane Foster Thor, Mantle Thor. He went right back to 4, and then we out of time for, I want to say 4 turns. Laura wasn't there for 4 turns. When I came back, I had the Silver Samurai in my hand. GG no re. Shout out to Walter. Round 3, I'm playing against, this has to be Vern. I played Vern in round 3. I actually mentioned to him, this is the first time I've seen you on tier one main character. And we laughed about it and we played the matchup. I definitely went first. I remember going first and I went attack. We both went down. Turn 2, attack. We both went down. He's at 6 XP, right? He's at 6 XP at least. He's going to go back in time. He cannot stop that. And I haven't gotten bit yet. So I was like, okay, well, this matchup's easy. I should be okay for the rest of the game. And I was. He lost the board. He played a Swifty Sage. I had to check 10 twice. I think he blocked one of the attacks that I managed to do. But after the Sage went down, the board was lost. And I wasn't in danger of dying. Shout out to Vern. Shout out to Apex. We're going to talk about that matchup more in a bit. That's round 3. Round 4, I'm playing against Scott Cause. Team Buckeye. Pew, pew. He's playing Deacon Frost. Another ingenious plan. Deacon Frost wants to steal your guys and experiment on them. Turn them into pseudo half vampires. If he steals a zombie after he got bit, particularly the Stilt Man, congratulations. You now have a 7-7 zombie healing vampire that also has a 3-1 buddy that's hard to interact with. If he ever tags you, you're bitten. If he ever tags a guy and kills it, he gained a life. If he ever tags a guy and doesn't kill it, he's getting more and more and more stuff for him to do, and you're stuck with a losing board. He went the first three turns of the game against X-23 not playing a guy. So I was like, okay, well, whatever chance he had of gaining life is gone. If I ever draw a basic green or Wolverine with a school, I'm never going to let you have my cards. My cards are just too good, right? And that's what happened. He went to three, went to four relatively quickly. And I played, my first cast was Dakin, the son of Wolverine. And I had the green to pay so that he wouldn't get experimented on. We had a long, lengthy massacre, shoot the Dakin fight. And I got out of that, kept my guy, and it was over on the crackback. Round five, the final round of Swiss. I'm going up against John Phillips. It's the big three. It's the team captain of the Build the Club. It's the Mole Man connoisseur. He's playing Mole Man. This matchup is, I've told multiple people after the weekend was over, this is actually the most difficult matchup I think I've ever played in versus. I'm healing for, if you land the Lox, you're healing for zero. You cannot let him gain life off of his yellows. So much so that I mulliganed in our Swiss game and I didn't have Lox. And my turn one was no resource attack. We need him to take a wound every turn. And we both laughed about it because that, honestly, that feels like the only way X-23 wins that matchup is swifty decision-making like that. We almost got away with it, too. He was at four wounds. I landed the helmet, called yellow, but he cleared it with negative zone. We don't come back from that because now he's playing five, sixes, and sevens, and we lost the board because we had to not play resources. I was really shaken up by that, but I made the best decision I possibly could have. And I decided, hey, you know what? If I have to play John again, we're going to try and figure it out. We're going to do our very best so that we can win this regional mat. That's it. X1, me and John. X2, Stax and Vern Lee of Team Apex. We go take a little lunch. We come back. It's me versus Vern. Second seed versus third seed. I went first. I remember not being bitten before. Kate went back in time. He lost the board. We dealt the wounds. And the game was over. Game two. Vern opts to go first. We actually do get bit on turn one with the Stilt Man. And for the rest of the game, Laura was going to be a 6-3 healing zombie. I looked at the little zombie counter I gave Laura. And I'm like, you know what? That's not bad. If he ever doesn't block, Kate's going to get zombified. I can always trade. I can always force him to take that zombie wound on the crackback. And that's what happened. The first time Laura saw Kate alone in a dark alley, Kate emerged with a zombie bite. And I just had to play it cool. Iceman, freeze the Kate. She takes a wound next turn. Hope, freeze the Kate. She takes a wound next turn. And then I think the very last turn that I took was I crashed. I went Laura attack. I think he had a Wolverine out. He had a three or a four drop, and I attacked, put both of my characters face down, and he was going to take that fifth wound on defense. Shout out to Vern. Shout out to Team Apex. Kate was definitely a good take. I was going to play her, honestly. She was right there with Laura as far as, do I want to be the zombie or do I want to beat the zombies? Good job, Vern. Over on the other side, it would seem to be that John dug a deep enough tunnel to just outlast the zombie infection, the zombie virus. And he emerges from the set against Stax 2-1. And it's a non-zombie finals match. It's a non-zombie finals match. I was admittedly super frustrated with this. This is a tough matchup, and if I'm going to win, I definitely deserve it. But it's not going to be easy at all. This matchup's probably 70-30 John's way, and it would take a bit of missteps or a bit of good fortune on my side for us to walk out with this. Game one, we did not get the good fortune. We were not going to walk away with this. I drew, I want to say, two greens, and John gained a life or two somewhere in the first four turns of the game. I had one wound, and I actually threw. I was super frustrated. I was in my own head like, man, this sucks, man. Let's just get out of this and go to game two. So I team attacked with, I think it was Wolverine and X-23. That was 10 to the Blast Stars 10. And John's like, are you sure you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, man, let's just go to the next game. Because I was dead on board anyway. No matter what, the next zone takes me to two, and I didn't have another green. So the game was over game one. It was completely in John's favor. Game two, I went first. I don't remember if I did the no resource plan, but I do remember chaining green, no heal, green, no heal, green, no heal, and he went to three pretty quickly. At some point, John didn't hide, or he hid, but we popped him right back out with a green, and we got him to five. Game three, John's on the play. The yellow doesn't matter on the play, because if I lay a green, put him to one, and he goes under, he's going to two. If I don't lay a resource, he's definitely going to two. He opened with a yellow, I'm pretty sure. He opened with a yellow, and on my turn, I went green Jubilee. So we're doing it. We have to draw a green every turn so that he doesn't hidey hole and gain life. If he makes it to the pass, if he makes it to Blastar, Redshift, Dr. Doom, Surfer, if he makes it those turns and he only has one or two wounds, we're not going to win the regional. I played Jubilee team attack. Then I played, I think it was Hope team attack. We played Destiny, grabbed a Loke. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and we're healing for zero. It's very important that we heal for zero. Turn six, John is at a crossroads. He has to go Crystal, go get green, neg zone, daze the Mole Man, or play chunky guys and flight block so that he can make it to those Dr. Doom Surfer turns. He opted for the Redshift, which would shut down. Basically, my entire hand was gone. They were all twists. And so I look, I'm at two wounds. Laura's on two wounds. And I draw two cards. We know now that one of the two cards that I draw was the only way out of this board state. The first card I drew was Dak, and I'm like, oh man, okay, nope, that's not it. That's not going to do it. Second card I drew was Banshee. Enters the battlefield. Daze a guy, which was perfect. Him and Laura would team attack for 12. Mole Man's at 11 defense. Even if he had this and that through Observe and Adapt, we had Defend the Week, 12 to 12. We win the regional, right? And I just remember, no way. I couldn't believe that I was fortunate enough to draw the Banshee there. It was the only way we win right there. And yeah, we dazed the Redshift. We got in there for the 12 team attack, and that was good enough. Me and John survived the zombie apocalypse. X-23 emerges regional champion, baby! Oh man! Woo! Oh boy! It's been so long. It's been so long. The Siege of Cascade. The start of volumes and issues. Tons and tons of second places. And seventh places. And ninth places. And tenth places. We did it. We did it, commuters. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. We did it. We are finally a regional champion in 2024. Of Versus 2 PCG, and I'm so glad that I didn't allow myself to get bushwhacked in game three, because it could have just as easily went Mole Man's way. It could have went John's way, and he would have gotten that sixth regional. But we are on the map now. I finally have one. I feel completed as a Versus player, honestly. I feel great right now. And so I still can't believe it. I can't believe I drew the Banshee. I cannot believe it. Things like that don't normally happen for me, honestly. But I appreciate that the deck that I played was in a good spot in the field. It was good enough. And I know the deck was good enough because every game outside of the John games in finals, every game felt the same. I was either attacking with one wound face up at the end of my turn, or I was face down ready to heal with two wounds. And that sort of consistency and just power level on a main character, that's what I live for, man. I love reasonable main characters with solid game plans and lit cards in our 60. All of my cards were good all throughout the day. Every single one, it was a pleasure to draw. Every single one, it was a pleasure to play. And I hope, I wish upon a star that I am able to play a deck like that in the next event I go to. And the one after that, and the one after that. I didn't have to play Kate. I didn't feel that I had to play zombies in the format. And I'm so glad that I stuck to my guns and I was able to play at the high level. Let's talk about the zombie format itself before we go. And I leave you guys. I've been talking a lot, I know, but what a time. The zombies, in general, they promise you important combats and meaningful attacks to be had on both your turn and your opponent's turn. But they do not come through on that promise at all. Once you get bit, your job is to be face down. Once you bite the opponent, your job is to be face down. You're not supposed to fight anymore because your opponent is going to take wounds if they can't initiate melee combat. So what does that mean? That means that a lot of these games in general, combat wasn't happening. And when you take away combat from the combat is important main characters or the my zombies matter main characters, you end up with these degenerate board states where I'm losing and I can't do anything about it and it's not my fault and I don't even have anything I can draw to get out of it. I'm super not a fan of this mechanic. As much as it's like on the nose flavor wise, once you figure out the trick, once you know I am never supposed to be face up, my opponent is never supposed to be attacking me, it ruins the mechanic. It ruins the whole thing. So many mains in this format were just benched immediately because they were getting clapped by Stiltman Pump or Stiltman Double Pump, Stiltman No Brains. And not even every main could support that. Not every main had a fighting pump on attack. So it really, like, it funneled the game into, like, this, either you're scamming people with the zombies or you're scamming people with, like, well, let's outlast the zombie virus. Let's go to turns 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, which was definitely possible. Yeah, I'm done, man. I'm done with zombies. I don't want to see these cards for a very, very long time. And I also want to bring up the fact that these zombie masters, they did nothing. They did nothing all format. They did nothing. I helped Stax with his list, and I actually had Zombie Colonel America and Zombie Iron Man in my list. He's like, why are these even in here? These are really bad. And I was like, yeah, I agree, but they're in like the worst case scenario. You need to clear the virus. You need one more attack step or two more attack steps. Those were the first cards cut out of this 60. And I don't blame him at all. Those cards are not good, man. As far as versus 2PCG goes, I don't know what the next format is. But I do feel like we're going to engage here on the podcast. I don't know what the next event is, but I have to imagine that I would kind of sort of want to play if I feel that I have game. We're approaching Gen Con slowly but surely, and there's a couple things I want to do before that, including a market watch. There are a lot of hot ticket versus 2PCG boxes that are just disappearing from the market, and we're going to try and track them down. If I can help anybody find a good deal on these boxes, particularly newer players, we're going to do some investigating. I also have this series on one of the most polarizing photo main characters. We're going to be talking about Homelander at some point. But in the meantime, I am your host and regional champion, Ferguson. This has been the New York Minute. Peace.